Hello, everybody. Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report, and we're going to discuss something today that we get a lot of questions on. And, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, they even use the saying, you know, BUDS is 90% mental and 10% physical, you know, 10% mental, 90, you know, whatever, you know. So, you know, but here's the deal. There is actually an academic component to it. Now, obviously, that saying has nothing to do with academics. It's more, and that's where people get it confused. There's that much study in BUDS. They say it's 90% mental, 10% physical. No, it becomes so physical that you have to mentally push yourself to get through it. That's where it's all a mental toughness thing. But there is a significant amount of academics that are involved as well. And let's just break it down by phase. So first phase, you have some classes. Yeah. Typically, they're a combination.
It's like post-Hell Week, the Hydro Hell Week type stuff where you're using slate and lead line or lead line and slate to measure depth. Kind of doing oceanography, like surveying kind of what – it's to simulate what happened in clearing the beaches of Europe by D-Day and such.
Yeah.
So, that's just, but that's like mapping and hydro reconnaissance is I think that's what they call it.
The old UDT mission. Yeah, the old UDT mission. Yeah.
You know, are they still doing that in BUDS? I bet they are in some level.
Yeah.
Because Hydro Hell Week is an event. That's really why.
Yeah. I think they made it harder because I remember it being kind of fun.
Was not fun.
Doing the old UDT mission. I mean, if you were wet and cold quite a bit, you know, for a post-Hell Week event, you know, you were wet, cold. You got to do the cast and recovery.
Yeah.
That was really cool, you know, where you stick your hand out and they
– The loop, the big
– Fling you into the boat. That was a lot of fun. Get to jump out of a speeding boat and do, you know, swim in with your – with your swimmers, line swimmers, and you just take lead readings or readings.
Yeah, we dropped out at certain intervals, right, and then you get online with the beach. And that was – the thing is that week was because you had to do the maps. And those of us that had the best penmanship were the ones that got stuck doing the maps.
Yeah.
Because they were so – that's what it is they're taking something like a map design when you have to be – because you won't sleep during Hydro Hell Week either.
Yeah.
You only get a couple hours of sleep a night at most, unless if you can write. And so I was one of those five or six guys. He broke up in teams, like fire teams.
Yeah.
Someone from the fire team's like, you're in charge of doing the map, and you get the blank map paper, and you have to draw everything out. It takes hours upon hours to draw those maps, and you turn them in.
Yep.
Like on Thursday.
Yeah, it was a big project. It was a big project. And that took a lot of classroom time to complete. So there are classroom events. Even before Hell Week, you're going to learn, you know, a safety swim brief is in the classroom. You're going to, you know, every event, you know, with the boats, you know, boat maintenance, you know, they're going to do a classroom on that. So you do have a certain amount of class time. It's not all running and doing push-ups. I mean, you do have. Now, where it gets really hard is in second phase for the dive phase, and that's where I think a lot of people are sweating, at least by the emails that I see, that people are concerned about dive physics. They're worried about dive medicine. Physics problems are the biggest one.
So you have Boyle's law. It's physics, but it's really at the end of the day, we say physics, but it's just algebra.
It's algebra.
Algebra. Yeah. Finding a summation of something of a missing subject, right? Missing object, missing distance, missing something. So
you got the equations. You have to manipulate the equations to find out your answers. and you're right. It is all algebra. So if you've been in high school and you've taken algebra, you know, if you've gone higher than algebra, you're going to be fine.
My son's in fifth grade. The necessary math right now, because they started algebra about a month and a half, 6 weeks ago in fifth grade here in Virginia, that math is the extent of what he would need to do dive physics. Now, could my fifth grade son sit down and look at Boyle's law and the equations and hammer it out with, you know, because it's basically going to be delivered in a word problem that then you have to use Boyle's law equation. But the thing is, in BUDS, is it's spoon-fed. The teaching is spoon-fed. I'm talking like the smallest spoon possible. So now there'll be some people that just aren't great at math, but the way that it's taught, and then also with the help that you're going to receive from the people in your class specifically that either pick it up right away, or really that's for many of us, a very large percentage for that selection report. So like, I think it's like 35 to 37% of guys going through BUDS have a college degree.
Yeah. That's just the enlisted guys.
And that's the enlisted side. Yeah. So between the people that are picking up math, the college educated, and specifically the officers that are college educated and some grad educated, you're going to have more than enough help. So again, it might be a point of worry, but when Stu and I say nobody fails that sort of stuff, the biggest reason why nobody fails that stuff is because you're part of the team. Like, guys are going to help you.
Yeah.
Like, and not just like do the work for you, but really help you learn it. And so that's where we say it all the time, get to know people that you trust and believe in there, and like stay tight with people you trust, because they're not going to let you fall.
Yeah. And you know, you get a couple of chances to, you know, to take these tests if for some reason you fail one. And the amount of extra time that you have to study, it's your extra spare time, but you really do, you know, a couple hours in the evening, you know, the night before the test is really plenty. And you'll see what will happen is you'll go to BUDS all day. You'll be in classroom pretty much the whole day during that first part of dive phase.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have to do all your
morning your, PTs and your such and
testing events. So you're going to work out a couple times, but it's, I'd say half the day's spent in the class. Yeah. And then you go to dinner, you go back, do a little 2-hour study session. You know, somebody in your class is going to lead that. Maybe your proctor, one of the BUDS instructors that's in charge of the administrative part of your class may help you, or he just may make sure that the officers and the guys with college degrees are going to be having tutor partners with everybody. So,
cause I do remember they would give us the option. They'd say, cause they, you had to leave the textbooks and the material in the classroom. Mm-hmm. That was the rule. And so the proctor, the second phase proctor, would go to the OIC or AOIC and say, hey, if you guys are planning on studying, who's going to be the tutor tonight? And sometimes there's me and some other people. And so we'd say, all right, for two, because they had to have the officer of the deck, the OD of the compound, come unlock it. And like, you have to go get the keys from them because you already, like, hey, Nichols and so-and-so are going to be doing tutoring. So the OD knew it. So you go to them, you get the keys, check out the key, keep the classroom open for 2 hours, deliver the key back to the OD at a certain timeline. It was, you know, again, so a point of all this is you see that, you know, after all these years, BUDS, Stu and I still remember. And the reason why is because the system that is in place at BUDS, for every system, but in particular, this dive physics, it's been done a million times, yeah. Right? Yeah. They're not reinventing the wheel. It works really, really well. There's a system in place. Don't overstress it. Just trust the people in your class to help you get through.
Yeah. Plus, the one way they've done this, and I will say this with probably most Navy schools I've been to, is it is a mass amount of repetition.
Yep.
You're going to learn this by repetition, 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 and it gets pretty old once you get it, because you're still going to spend a couple hours that afternoon just still practicing the same problems that you already know. But you have to know it to that level.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, these things can kill you if you don't figure them out and be able to do them even when you're tired. So there's really a reason for that.
Yeah, because I think this portion typically also is taught by a Navy master diver, which is one of the most difficult things to achieve in the U.S. Navy, is to be actually have the title master diver. Yeah. Like, it's not like a term you go, like, I'm a master naval parachutist because of the schools I've been to. Like, it's extensive to be considered that. Same with the diving, plus a ton, because they have to learn how to run tanks, you know, the hypobaric, hyperbaric chambers, all those sort of things, certified. They're medical technicians in that environment. So they're a lot of the ones that are teaching the dive physics, and they're incredibly intelligent and good teachers to begin with. Because that's the part of becoming a master diver, is you have to teach a lot.
Yeah.
You can't just go to course and go, yep, I'm a master diver. You're actually teaching the diving courses. So that's what these people do, is these master divers teach diving.
Right. It's kind of like your PhD of divers.
Exactly. So they've been down that road, and they've been teaching people like us and you guys for decades. Yeah. So just trust. Again, that's what we soon I keep saying. Bud, the system buds works perfectly every single time.
Yeah.
And this is a part of that. It getting taught dive physics has been refined and refined and refined for this environment and these people.
Yeah. If you want to just test yourself a little bit, and there's nothing wrong with that. Boyle's Law, Charles Law,
yep,
and some algebra.
Yep.
You know, just play around with those three words, and you'll be able to, you know, figure out the concept of it.
If you're in high school and you were to look up Boyle's Law and Charles Law and take them to your high school math teacher or algebra teacher, they'd probably be like, oh, yeah, I'll help you out here.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I would think so. Unless you've been a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, you may even learn it in high school physics as well. I mean, it is physics. It's basically when a balloon is on the surface and then it goes down in the bottom, the pressure will make that balloon smaller. So it's pressure, volume, temperature equations. So,
yep. Pretty straightforward stuff. So, yep. I mean, and that's so then in third phase, what really the measurements and the calculation is going to take is for, you know, cutting time views. You're going to do test burns and get averages of times, really simple type stuff. Again, be working as a group.
That's fun.
It's demo's great in third phase.
So fun.
And you're going to be doing calculations on weight of the demo. Not just the how much it weighs mass, but the explosive weight.
Right.
Because based off of kilos or poundage, you're going to have this much explosive weight. Again, that's pretty straightforward stuff. It's just algebra. Yeah. And again, keep in mind the people that are teaching that are like, for example, like I'm a master breacher. I teach breaching and teach cutting demo and all these sort of things. So that's who's going to be teaching the demo portion of third phase is teachers, instructors, you know, people that have done it, really done it. So just that's the beauty of the environment is you really can trust the cadre to teach you efficiently, just like you're going to learn how to shoot at Buds. It's the best way to learn, in my opinion. Granted, I've been to a lot of shooting schools, but the thoroughness of how it's taught is really quite comforting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Especially, you know, the shooting tests, you know, you're going to have some academic tests, but they're mostly performance skills tests. Yep. So you're going to be tested on taking apart your weapon and putting it back together.
Yeah.
You're going to be tested in land navigation and doing the land navigation course out there. But there's also an academic portion to that where you're going to have to, you know the navigation terminology. And most time it's a multiple choice test.
Yep.
But we actually had a guy fail that in the class before me. And he got kicked out of Buds for failing navigation test three times.
Yeah. And you'll see in these, I don't know what the case is, but sometimes this is the case, is you're going to be doing peer reviews all through Buds. Top three, bottom three, top five, bottom five, and the why.
Yeah.
And what's going to end up happening is these academic and these physical tests all come to a head at some point, and they go, this person has traditionally been a pain in the ass, unliked by the class, maybe, for example. Yeah. This is just an example. And their test scores have not been the best, and they get to the point where it becomes a reason to get rid of somebody. Now, if that person was a stellar performer and a good dude and struggling with the test, it's very likely that, you know, it's all fair and equal. It is, but there is a difference between, hey, man, we're going to really help you along, or you've been a pain in our ass. That's why I keep saying, like, don't be a pain in the ass to your high school teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that's the case, and you're a pain in the ass to a Bud student or a Buds instructor, it's not going to bode well for you.
Yeah, you're done.
So, or your classmates, to be honest with you, if no one in your class likes you, which I remember the one guy that made it through Hell Week, that made it to the second phase with us, and nobody liked, and I mean nobody liked him, nobody. Mm. They finally dropped him in the second phase out of that because nobody liked him.
Wow.
They compiled enough sort of character flaws on this guy and documented them in amongst his peers that they finally dropped him.
Wow.
So, and I still remember his name. And he was, what a pain in the ass he was.
Wow.
So just know that too. It's not a game, but there, you got to think that whether it's academic standards or character standards, the people you're there as it's an interview process. Buds is a 6-month long interview process. That's what it is.
Yeah. Good point. So yeah. Yeah. The academics after that, you know, SQT gets a little bit, a little more intense.
You do more in depth dive tables. Like,
yep.
Cause in Buds, you really just swim straight lines, maybe a box.
Yeah.
You swim, we swam one box, one or two boxes in Buds. But in SQT, you swim a lot of different legs and boxes and limpet mines, stuff like that. So you really have to pay a lot more attention to diving. But it's all carried over and it's all straightforward and it's pretty easy stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the demo will carry over a little bit when you go out to an island as well in SQT. But it's
I would say the most I probably studied for things were either, you know, the navigation terminology, the weapons nomenclature, learning all that stuff, and just the medicine part, you know, because there were some academic medical questions, especially in SQT, whenever you had, you know, you basically took like a really crash course as an EMT almost.
Yeah, because I think we actually, we got CPR certified in SQT as well. It was like part of the course, right?
Yep.
So, but here's the thing is, like the real complex stuff that you might think that you're going to need to in the teams, you won't get until you get your Trident. Like when you actually go to breacher school, the standard's way different, right? When you go to sniper school, it's standard is way, there isn't any sort of, well, let's see if he can learn it. You either learn it or you don't. That's really where the academics come in differently. And that's where you see, you know, here's the deal. When you get to the teams, if you aren't very good at math and taking tests, you're not going to go to sniper school. You won't go to breacher school. You might not even go to comm school. You'll be first lieutenant working on boats or something, like really unsexy stuff. So that's the difference is if your academic standards are high, your opportunity for courses of professional instruction after SQT is high.
Yeah. And I will say this, you know, most guys that are going to this school anyway are pretty outstanding people as far as, especially the guys who make it through, and multi-talented on all different levels. I mean, they're really like borderline Renaissance men, you know, that are doing this. Cause I mean, I've been out with guys that I just thought were, you know, just the average, you know, Buds graduate, and you know, he walks into a hotel room and he's playing Bach on a piano, and somebody grabs a, what I used to call a fiddle, but he called it a violin, and you know, was playing Charlie Daniels, you know, the whole thing. I mean, it's like crazy. You know, these guys are multi-talented people that have spent a lifetime of, you know, high performance, and that's who you find. It's kind of like the other night when you watched, I watched TV show the other day with the NFL players that were on a talent show. It's just like 8 o'clock at night one night, and as they had like their own little talent show, and they had, you know, some dude singing opera, some guy playing the piano, and it was kind of fun, you know, watching these big old dudes.
Talent begets talent, right? Yeah. Or education begets education, or knowledge begets knowledge. When somebody is hungry for knowledge in one aspect, typically they're hungry in others.
Yeah.
Not just the singular aspect of like, I love training.
Yeah.
But physics is what makes sense to me, and math and physiology and anatomy, and it extends into other things in my life.
Right.
And that's why we're saying be diverse, you know, not just in your athletic talent, but be as diverse as you can be in your social and emotional talents as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because usually the energy that you take to prepare for SEAL training, you're just that kind of person anyway.
Right.
And you're going to take that same kind of energy level and do other things equally as well. So it's just the way it works. That's the type of people that are there. You know, it's not a kid's game of people just wanting to be Rambo.
Yep.
You know, they're usually very talented people that make it through that training. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Hopefully that helped, folks. It's just, again, don't get too wrapped around the axle. You know, as far as people saying, hey, can you give us examples? Again, Boyle's Law and Charles' Law. Look those up.
Yeah.
And you're going to find an immense amount of sort of examples, tests, like quizzes, you know, or quiz questions and stuff pertaining to those sort of things. You're going to see that it's pretty straightforward stuff. It really is. Basic algebra.
Find a buddy who's an Eagle Scout. Have them show you how to do land nav. I mean, it's little things like that can come in handy, or maybe even go take a civilian scuba course, you know, Patty or NAWI, you know, both of those. I did that before going, and I thought it was pretty helpful. Second phase, having, you know, there were many people, the first time they ever put a regulator in their mouth was when they were doing push-ups with an instructor yelling at them, you know, so it's makes it a little more stressful to learn. So
yeah, there are certain things that, you know, if you can experience them prior to going in, experience them. It's a good idea. And this is the example is look up Boyle's and Charles' Law, experience it. So it's not the first time you see it. And hopefully when you see it for the first time now, it'll take some of that anxiety away that you might have. And because you're going to realize how straightforward those mathematical equations are.
Yeah. And that's a good point too, because, you know, we all had anxiety about going to this training, but once you're there, and you start figuring it out every day,
anxiety.
Like within the first week, you know, you're like, okay, this is what I got to do. This is what I got to do. And then you figured it out. So I think a lot of that anxiety is just a little bit of the unknown, and 90% of your unknown gets answered in that first week.
Cause here's the deal. And this is, I remember Bud's instructor saying this, no week at Bud's will be worse than the first. And they're right. And they're not so much right because the physicality doesn't persist week two, three, and obviously Hell Week and such. But the anxiety of, oh my God, I'm Buds. It's happened. Like, what do I do? How do I, like, what is log PT going to bring? Like, what is the 5 mile run or 4 mile run going to be like? Oh my God, what is the swim? You've done it all. You've done the running, you've done the swimming, you've done the PTs, you've done the O course, you've done log PT, you've done some classroom stuff, you've figured out. When I drop down, I have to face the water. All these sort of things you figured out by week one.
Yeah.
Not even weekend, the lick your wounds and go, oh, shit. I got 25 more weeks or whatever of this. This is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, just get through that first week, man. And a lot of that will just – you'll be able to go,
whew. That's a good, very good point, because I was thinking, you know, as you said that, I said, yeah, I can remember probably the worst day of Buds was the day before Buds.
Yeah.
And
because you're getting your paddle ready.
Yeah.
And all that shit. Like
the night before Hell Week, that was up there. So, but I tell you what though, once Hell Week started, you just rolled. You just kind of zombied through it. Yeah. It was completely mindless. But I tell you what, the worst part of Hell Week for me was when it was over. Cause that's when all the pain set in. Cause you've been living on adrenaline for week, and
we had some guys that had been through Buds before, and one guy had been through Hell Week totally, and that's his wife got sick, and they rolled him until my class, but super good dude. And I remember like laying in the tent, you know, like, all right, everyone secure phones in the classroom, and hey, in 30 minutes we're gonna move out to the tents to pre-stage you for when Hell Week might come, kind of thing. You know, you don't know what the timeline is, but you're sitting in this tent, everyone's trying to sleep. And I just remember my butt, like everyone's like got their, you know, their duffel bags full of just snacks and a sleeping bag. And you have stuff you could take with you into the tent. And he sits down and I'm watching everybody kind of try to get, you know, lay their bed out and get comfortable like they're going to sleep. And I'm watching Dave, who had been through this before. And he's sitting at the end of the bed and he starts packing all this shit up, just packing in his bag, make sure it's all done. He's like, if you have anything valuable or whatever, like hoodies, like, cause I wanted to bring your favorite hoodie and flip flops. He goes, moment the breakout happens, this is going to be everything's going to get tossed up, the tent's going to get torn down, and he goes, you're going to lose your shit. You're going to have to go through it in a Hell Week, so put it in a bag. That's why they make you take the paper garbage bag or the paper and label it. What's yours? And then
right.
So I was like,
good advice. He's
been there, so I'm sitting there packing all my stuff up, and like 40 minutes later, man, that breakout happens. And I was like, because everyone else is trying to get comfortable, and Dave is just sitting. He's like, because he goes, Everyone's here with their shoes off. Everyone's relaxing, their boots. He goes, you're going to have to do breakout with no shoes or unlaced boots. He goes, it's already going to be shitty. The last thing you want to do is be tripping around, getting sprayed in the face with the water hose, trying to put your boot on. She goes, get your boots on now. So we got our boots on, and we sat there and waited. And it was like, in hindsight, because now breakout happens, and the other tent is all like, they're, you know, half their blouses are off and boots are off, and they're trying to put it on, and they're getting sand in their boots. And I was like, okay, well, I'm glad that I was paying attention.
Yeah, that's very good. That's a good point. We'll end the academic portion on, you can always learn something from somebody who's been there, done that.
Yep.
So somebody in your class will be a rollback and just, you know, pepper them for questions, because that will help ease some of that, you know, stress as well.
Anxiety.
Still going to be hard, but at least you'll be able to have
many a plan. Many lesser men have done it in the past.
There you go.
So.
All right.
All right, cool. Stu, I appreciate it. Thanks.
We'll see you.